You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Henday built. Shocker, the orders. I like the idea of starting the game how you finish. Hyman's going to stay up with Drysdale and McDavid. The bottom six were actually pretty good last game, and Chicago is going to reunite Kane and Taves. Now, if this was 2010 to 2014, 15, I think this would be a great matchup, but this is still a pretty big advantage tonight, McDavid, Drysdale up against Kane and Taves.
Yeah, for sure. And Athanasiou, is he on the left side that I see? Was that
yes.
That was a thing? Former Oiler? Yeah, I'm glad they're playing together. That's cool. So you got McDavid and Drysdale. You got those two going head to head. We'll see what happens through the rest of the lines. I don't think this is going to be a night where it's the depth players are the ones that make the difference and win it. I think that McDavid and Drysdale will have a chance to have a night tonight. You know, just this blue line. Patrick Kane's a real good player. You never want to take him lightly, but I don't know. Dusty first said it this morning, and I tend to agree as I'm looking at the lines and evaluating the matchup. Like, this feels like one of those points nights. Is it just me and Dusty?
No. You look at, Draisaitl, by his standards, is kind of limping along here at a point-a-game pace, right? He's at a point-a-game for, 11 games, which for him is well below where he's normally at. So, no, I think he'd like to have a breakout game. I think Zach Hyman, the amount of chances he's had in the last three games alone, he's had 18 shots, and man, he's been robbed on a few of them. Obviously, they have the one goal that came back. I don't even think it gets classified as shot on goal because it was kicked in, so that one doesn't even actually count as a shot on goal. So, I think he's due. The Hawks give up the most quality chances of any team in the National Hockey League. So, I would tend to agree with you. Now, that doesn't mean that the Oilers are going to play a perfect game. They might be leaky as they were the first time in Chicago in late October. But, yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion that McDavid and Drysdale could have themselves a night, yes.
Yeah, I think it sets up for that. And the team's got a little mojo going with a couple of wins. It'll be interesting. First of back-to-backs for them, so they're going to want to take care of some business tonight. I missed it today. Who's starting in net, by the way? I missed it.
Skinner,
yeah, okay. So we were talking about, I don't think there was a wrong decision to make for that one. You suggested you liked the idea that they, give a guy a couple of starts, so it looks like that's the way they're going. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It'll be, this is one of those nights where the Oilers need to just go out and have it be a no-doubter. Like, just a no-doubter. These are 2 points you have to have. You should have the lineup depleted and all still. You should be able to go get this game. So let's see what kind of a first period they have. Let's see if they back their way into this hockey game or not.
Well, I talked about it earlier. First goals are hard to come by for the Oilers. Heck, goals in the first period. The Oilers have only had one game where they scored two goals in the first period. One. They've only scored a goal in the first period in half of their games. 11 out of 22. Second and third periods, in the second period, they scored multiple goals nine different times, eight, and in the third period, nine times. It's to suggest I don't mind their starts. I get that you want to be positive, but come on, call a spade. Their starts have sucked.
Yeah, they're not a team that shows up with their game ready to go. That's just a fair criticism, and I think at least often enough. And I think it was a criticism of the team for a big chunk of last year. It remains this year. We've kind of beaten it to death trying to figure out where that might come from. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think when you're the top players on the team and you pile up the points, the responsibility, fair or not, is on you to go out and set the tone offensively as well, right, and not put yourself in those positions where you're having to come back. So I think it starts with those guys, but you got to do your job as depth players too. Mitch Marner right now, 17-game point streak. And in 11 of those games, he's gotten a point in the first period. He's taken care of his offensive business early on in games. In only one of those games has he had to wait till the third period to actually go out and get that point. So I do believe, it's on your offensive players to go out and set the tone and not wait. And, everybody else needs to play well, but when, you're not scoring the first goal enough and you're the guys that are supposed to be scoring, it starts with you.
100%. Yeah. Completely valid. And when you look at the Oilers' 5-on-5 production this year, even their best players, specifically their best players, are well below where they should be. Now, some will say, you know, it's bad luck, puck luck, whatever. Well, you can make the argument that, you know, you make your own puck luck at some point. So maybe they're due, and maybe tonight, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl each pot 4 points 5-on-5.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It feels like it might be one of those nights where they can work out a few kinks. And we're probably disrespecting the Blackhawks a little bit here, but they are where they are in the standings, and you know, they're there for a reason. So you got an Oilers team that wants to be on the upswing, a Chicago team that, you know, from a management standpoint, probably we all know what the deal is this year with them. So go out and get this one. Don't leave any doubts. Go out and get it. And, you know, play your guys. Give Holloway some minutes. Let him be engaged in this game again. And hopefully for him, he goes out and has some good early energy and can play some regular minutes here in these next couple of games. You have back-to-backs, right? So you get it. How about building yourself a cushion tonight? How about actually getting a two-goal lead so that your coach can roll four lines rather than having to push like crazy tonight and then you walk into mini tomorrow with your guns tired?
Well, and that's the other thing. I think the importance of tonight's game, if you want to have a chance to win both, is on back-to-back nights and a late start tonight, so they'll get in even later into Minnesota for the game, even though it's not that long of a travel day. To me, they can't have McDavid and Draisaitl, I don't think, ideally playing 26 minutes again tonight if they to be good tomorrow.
Well, grab a lead. I mean, that's all the more important. Like I just said, that's all the more importance on going out there and taking your game to them. Like, you just, everything you've got, throw it at the first period. See if you can come out with a goal or two lead, and then you can just keep rolling lines. And then everybody gets to feel a little better the next night rather than everybody feeling peaked the next night.
Yeah. No, I think it makes the game, as Leon Draisaitl said it accurately, and I know the players know about it, but talking about it and doing it are two very different things. He even talked about it's much harder playing catch-up. It's just, you know, it's harder mentally. You just, you've got to get going. You're always thinking about it. And the Oilers, when they score first, are one of the best teams in the NHL when they score first. So they make life easier on themselves. It forces the opposition to have to open it up a little bit more, and that plays right in their hands.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, you know who won today? Pat Maroon won the day today. Don't you think?
Yeah, oh yeah, Jack Edwards.
Did you see what Maroon did today?
Yeah, I saw what he did. But
that's great.
You should point out, and I'm not defending Jack by any stretch. I don't even know why he got on it. But they left out the clip where after he talks about, at the end, he goes, I don't even know why he said that. He even said it on the broadcast right after he said it. He goes, you know what? And hey, he goes, the guy's won three cups, so what do I know? Right? But it's still a dumb thing to even bring up at a random point.
I heard it right at the end where he said, you know, he's won three cups, so it's working or whatever. But still, to put the caveat at the end of it, like, he's won, so I guess it works. I mean, if you listen to the previous 50 seconds, you got, like, these, and I know Jack Edwards is he's a caricature, right? Like, we all get it, and you put up with a certain amount of it. It just is what it is. It's been that way for a long time, but I thought that one crossed over into, like, unprofessional.
Oh, yeah.
Silly. Dumb. Ridiculous. Shouldn't be doing it. But I love the way Pat Maroon handled it today by making a donation to charity in Jack Edwards' name, you know, benefiting mental health and that sort of thing. Good for Patrick Maroon for doing that. And that was it was a step too far. I don't know why that popped into my head. Sorry. I'm not trying to hijack your segment.
Oh, no. I get it. It was odd. Well, what did it? Maroon smart to donate, was it $2,000 in Jack's name?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, no, it's a really subtle chirp. I quite liked it. Now, to the orders, and you know, Tyler Benson comes in for Kalim Costin. Like, I know Costin's in Calgary right now, or you know, waiting to get his work visa. But the last few games of Costin, like really after the first two, I didn't really notice him in any other games. And, you know, if Tyler Benson just does anything noticeable tonight, I think it might be hard for Costin to get back in the lineup.
Well, there's going to be ebb and flow with your depth players, right? They're depth players for a reason. If they were super consistent and always really good, you know, they'd be full-time NHLers and all have, you know, two-year deals in their pockets. That's not what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with borderline NHL players that are trying to prove they belong. So Kalim Costin comes in, and can he look good for a few games? Yeah, he was a first-round pick. He's got some skill and some pedigree there for sure. Can he put together 15 really good games? No. That's why he is where he is. Tyler Benson, right? Can he put together a few good games? For sure. We see the work ethic and the tenacity, and he's got some built-in skill, you know, was close to being a first-round pick. Like, lots there, but it's about staying healthy and being consistent for Tyler Benson. So, you know, I think your point is there is opportunity here. The window opens, Benson gets in, he's finally recaptured some health, and if he skates around, works hard, finishes checks, keeps the puck moving in the right direction, and doesn't make any terrible mistakes defensively, like if he just takes care of his business to a very basic degree, the window's open for him on this team. And that's kind of saying something about their depth, but specific to Tyler Benson, this is a great opportunity for him. What do you think? I might have preferred Holloway up the lineup as opposed to Janmark on that second line. What do you think?
Hey, dude, I've been saying it for a while.
Give him the look up there, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I
get the all AHL line, and I get they were decent the other night, but I don't know. Give the kid a kick. Give him up the lineup. Playing with Nugent Hopkins and Puljujarvi, and he and Puljujarvi might be kind of interesting together. Think about that kind of tenacious energy in the offensive corners, right? I'd be curious to see that.
Dude, I'm totally with you. Like, hey, if you want to tell me that Holloway can't play in your top six when you have Yamamoto and Kane and you know, McLeod and Fogle in the lineup, you know what? I'll be like, all right, I get it. But no offense to Matthias Janmark. I don't think he's a lock there. I'm thinking it's a coach who feels the veteran player is more reliable in the defensive zone, and that's why he's there. That's the only thing that makes any sort of sense, because Matthias Janmark does not come close to being as offensively capable as Holloway is at this stage of their careers.
I just think it was a bit of a missed opportunity, you know. And again, they played decent the other night, and Hamblin came in and was good. And like there was a nice story, those guys being together and all those things. But I don't know, man. For me, like, he comes off, he gets his first goal. You've been waiting for something good to happen to him, like just waiting. And it's been mistakes and tough mistakes, from getting blown up and busting his nose to turnover on his first shift in this season in the league, bad penalty. Like, there have been some tough moments for him. You're waiting for something good to happen, and he goes, he scores a goal scorer's goal. And now there's opportunity in the top six to let him build off of that a little bit with not that high a bar. The next best guy that's ready to go in that spot is not that much more like it's different if you're like suppressing Fogle, who'd been playing good, or Yamamoto, or if you're playing him ahead of Puljujarvi or something. But you wouldn't be, right? So to put him in that spot, coming off of his success, I would have been interested to see that last game, and I'd be interested to see it tonight, but Janmark gets the nod instead.
500 games tonight for Darnell Nurse. Do you think he gets to 1,000 in the Oilers uniform?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, how many years are left on his deal? So seven times seven is 56, so you're making me do math here, buddy. So
that would be 1,060.
500.
If he doesn't miss any.
Yeah, if he doesn't miss any.
And he has to play them all.
He has to play them all. So is he going to miss 60 games over the next 7 years? Probably. So basically what we're saying is he going to have a third contract in Edmonton? We're projecting 7 years out. I don't know if they'll be able to trade him or not. I don't know, you know, because they're going to want him for the next 3 or 4 years, you know, while he's young and in his prime, and then are they going to be able to trade him after that? So, I'm going to go. You can hold me to this in 2030, whatever it's going to be. I'm going to say Darnell Nurse will retire an Oiler. There you go. You keep me accountable on that one, Greg.
Well, retire in order, that'd be quite the thing. Very few players in the league stick with only one team in their career. It's just, you know, he gets the game 500, and, you know, he's a pretty durable player when you think about it. He had last year he played through his injury. You know, he really only had the 1 year in 2017 when he had the injury where he missed any sort of significant time. So I just wanted to think, you know, 1,000 games played in an organization, you know, he's got the contract right now. So, you know, there's a chance he's there. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl obviously, I think, would get to 1,000 games if they sign an extension. And, you know, there's lots of reasons to think that they will. So I was just kind of curious. It's not something you see very often, right? It might be the second defenseman in franchise history to get to game 1,000 with the team. We'll see. Shager, enjoy the game tonight. One of the rare times that a Wednesday late game, Oiler fans. It's late in Chicago, but it's only a 7:40 start in Edmonton. So.
Oh, is that what it is? Is it 7:40 tonight?
Yes.
Oh, I have the wrong time written down on my thing.
Well, it'll say 7:30, but we all know the puck doesn't drop till 7:40.
Oh, 7:40, okay. All right, pal, enjoy the game. We'll break it all down tomorrow.